Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. 2 weeks, almost 2 weeks, into the new year, I have to ask, how are the resolutions going? We know from the radio that most people seem to be giving up resolutions. The only thing they resolve is not to make any. But most still do, statistically speaking. So how are they going? Made nearly a fortnight ago, are you still holding the fort? Or how many have fallen by the wayside? We often have high hopes as the new year starts. Individuals, groups, organizations set lofty goals, plans are laid out, and yet they come to naught. But it shouldn't really surprise us, given the nature of the proposers and the source of the resolve. No less a booster of human potential than Immanuel Kant had a comment that's apropos. And while there may be much to give us pause about the savant from the German Enlightenment, Kant's remark here, at least, holds true. Out of such crooked timber, like that of humanity, no straight thing can ever be made. Given all the grand things that Kant had to say about reason and human capacity, that is indeed quite an admission. Out of such crooked timber like that of humanity, no straight thing can ever be made. Today's reading tells us something about human capacity and resolve, and still more. John the Baptizer worked by the Jordan. People came to him. They heard the message, "Repent, the kingdom is at hand. Repent, for one greater is coming, one who will then set things aright." And many heard the message and did just that. They confessed, they were baptized as a sign for the need of mercy in the face of their sins. But what, to take Kant's line again, could be made of that crooked timber of humanity? Of themselves, nothing. We see the truth of the crooked timber in the message and in the ministry of John. There are no new worlds to build, no matter how intent their resolution. Not a single life lies open to self-assessment and do-it-yourself renewal. Instead, repentance is followed by watching and waiting for the deliverance to come. They could not straighten themselves out. At best, they could make straight the way for one greater who was their only hope, who could act. And then suddenly, in this morning's reading, the wait is over. The time has come. The one greater has arrived. He also has a greater notion of what he's about, as the account makes clear. John may have had his bedenken, his thoughts about the Sadducees and the Pharisees. Remember his line, "You brood of vipers." And yet, John was obliged to baptize anybody who came and who said he was repentant and claimed repentance. But he balks at Jesus' request. On one level, we can appreciate it. John seems to defer. Jesus has no need of what John was offering. And yet, Jesus does, and he knows it in another sense. John has a role to play, and Jesus an even greater one. And so he says, "It is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Baptism was John's duty per his role, and being baptized was Jesus' sign of acceptance of his role, of his working out the gift to those who repented and were waiting. It is Jesus' willing act. Done in behalf of Israel, meant narrowly, and Israel in a wider sense, those of the household of faith, us included. And then as the lamb, to borrow the phrase from the fourth gospel, as the lamb or as the scapegoat, he is off out into the wilderness. He would carry sins on his own back, sins that he made his own. The Spirit come from heaven, and the voice that come down immediately following Jesus' action here at the Jordan show that he has done well. The childhood is past, and he's now underway in his mission and his ministry. He has the right to set out off into the wilderness, where Israel sometimes had stumbled and grumbled. He has the right to say on top of the mountain, as Matthew goes on, "You have heard it said of old, but I say to you," and on it goes, fulfilling all righteousness, until it ends finally not in a river, but on a hill, and this time not with a voice from heaven, but with stony silence, with rejection. Rejection for the moment till heaven and earth are moved and the stone is rolled away. And that all starts here, here with John, here at the Jordan. There's a lot of talk in this gospel about righteousness. We can think of it in objective terms. We ought to think of it applied to ourselves, directed our way as well. We could seize upon the all righteousness phrase, and there's much there, but consider for a moment one other small point. It springs from the way in which Jesus deals with John, from the relationship Jesus has with John, and from Jesus' attitude and acceptance of him. We don't know what others thought as they saw this man coming, as they saw the dove and heard the voice. We don't know entirely what John thought. We know some of his thoughts. We know that he recognized Jesus. He knows more, and he realizes something is up. He realizes also that he is unworthy to do what is asked. But he doesn't know enough not to protest. And that's what struck me. Jesus took him where he was, and he lifted him back into the action, despite the protest. "It is fitting for us," he said. And then Jesus used him in his episode of kingdom building. We could hope for nothing more. Jesus offers that and more. Though unworthy and inadequate, and perhaps with notions askew of what we ought to be and ought not to be for God, he continues to lift us up and accept us with a word. Not with the specific phrase that's uttered to John the Baptizer, for we do not have his role, but to words uttered to sinners recorded for our learning and comfort. And how he deals with John in patience and in love is how he deals with us, as we learn from the scriptures and hear from Christians daily of the love of God, of the love that he would pour into our lives. And in that role, in that attitude, in that favor toward us, he remains the beloved Son. Given that, we rejoice. Christ has gone on to triumph, to claim all, to raise down the walls of the prison that hold us, and we, the prisoners, come forth blinking in the light that shines in Epiphany and beyond, set free. But he is also not so far above and beyond this all like some great potentate. For the beloved Son has come into this world, and salvation has occurred next to us, among us. And he has made us his brothers and sisters, and he makes sure that the Father knows it, interceding in our behalf with all righteousness. And a miracle occurs, for out of crooked timber, out of humanity, a church is built. John the Baptizer knew he was not worthy, but he learned also of Jesus' acceptance that made him so. In that relationship, he could serve in his baptizing role there by the Jordan. In that relationship, we also live in roles as Christ doles them out to us. The point, the acceptance, the privilege of playing a small part as the carpenter goes about salvaging scrap lumber to build a church is comforting. It is good news. It is that which God has resolved for us, again 2 weeks into this year and for all eternity. Amen.